Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm your host, Margo Joy Denader. I'm a coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of a book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Jim Chemo West back as my guest for Love Your Music today. Tune in for a conversation about Hawaiian-style music, winning a Grammy, and hear two beautiful songs from his awesome new album, Peaceful World, during the show. Aloha, Jim.
Aloha, Margot. How's it?
Oh, I'm so happy and thankful to have you back on the show and have you and your music in the world, in our lives. It's just, you know, I love the title of your new album, Peaceful World. We need one.
Yes, you know, it's something we all need, a peaceful world. And I always kind of think that sometimes my CDs can be a little respite from the craziness of living in today's world. But, yeah, the Hawaiian name for the record is Kahonua Maluhia, which basically translates to peaceful world.
I absolutely love the cover art. I love the title. I love the whole idea of it. And, you know, it really is so amazing to listen to, especially in the car, I found, when we're going on drives. It's just, you're right, it's so peaceful. It just makes you feel so good.
And well, you know, I when I'm mixing, you know, I record and mix all my records myself here at my own studio, but that's one thing I do when I'm getting, you know, when I'm working on the mixes is I burn a CD and I drive around town with, you know, listen to it in the car, you know, whether it's on the freeway or, you know, surface streets or, you know, just to get a feeling of how it sounds in the car. So that's why it sounds good in the car, because I do that.
It's true. And it's great to have on at home, too. But it just, you know, in the car, a lot of times people can be going somewhere and they're stressed out because of where they're going or because of the traffic or whatever. And it just, this is a way they can feel more peaceful and just really enjoy it. And it brings back memories of being on Hawaii when you listen to music of this sort as well.
Yeah, it does sort of transport you there for sure.
Yeah, I remember an article I read years and years and years ago was talking about when you come back from vacations, a lot of times you feel kind of sad and because it's over. And then they suggested, though, bringing back parts of what you really enjoyed about the vacation so that you could bring part of that into your normal life. And bringing the music, bringing art, bringing the clothing, pictures, things like that. And even going for walks out in nature. We go for a lot of walks while we're over there on Oahu, not Oahu, but Maui. And Oahu, actually, but mostly on Maui. Love to go for walks along.
Yeah, it makes sense to bring back something as a little treasure and just to keep you in that place. But I, like we were saying, you know, Hawaiian music for me, when I hear really good Hawaiian music, it just transports me right back to the islands. You know, it's something about it. It's just I think the music is just so identified with the islands. It's Hawaiian music sounds like the place, you know, almost more than any music that I know. So you hear Hawaiian music and you're there, and it's cheaper than a plane ticket.
And it also makes it so that you can be there a lot more often than we all could go, you know, and still live here in California and be able to go, ooh, I want to be on Maui for a few minutes and then turn on some music.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would like to start with playing a song from your new album, and the one that I have queued up first is Frangipani. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
First song on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And do you want to tell us a little bit about it first, or do you want to tell us about it after I play the song? Which do you prefer?
Well, I'll just talk about it just for a second. It's Frangipani is another name for the plumeria, and that's a flowering tree that's very common in Hawaii, and in fact, oftentimes when you get off the plane and you you're in the airport, you can just smell the air is sort of perfumed, you know, and
yeah.
usually that's what you're smelling. You're smelling the plumeria blossoms. So it's my favorite, you know, fragrance. I remember in the old days, a friend of mine used to, you know, when she'd miss Hawaii, she would go to the airport and go to the terminal where the Hawaii flights were coming in, just so she could smell the plumerias of on the lays of the people coming off the plane.
Oh.
So it's a you know, fragrance is a very powerful, you know, thing, and you know, so this is sort of inspired by the beautiful fragrance of the plumeria.
Well, I have to say that the first time I ever went to Hawaii, and every time since then, it's like as soon as you get off the plane and you just smell that, you're right. It's just, oh, it's so beautiful. Well, anyway, this song is 4 minutes and 3 seconds. I'm going to go ahead and play that, and then we can talk a little bit more after the song.
Okay, Maikai. Thank you.
That is such a beautiful song.
Oh, thank you so much.
Ah, I feel very peaceful.
Well, the great thing about this kind of music for me is it puts you in a great, you know, state of mind just to play it, you know, just to hear those open strings ringing and the different tunings and something about, you know, the resonances about it. It's just it's like a little meditation just to play slack key. So it's you know, I'm getting the benefit out of it just by playing it, you know, even without making records or playing shows. It's just it feels good to do it.
Yeah, that's one of the things about music, is it does feel good to do it as well as to hear it and experience it. It's, I don't know, thank God for music. That's one thing I have to say.
Yeah, it is the universal language for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It is. Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, I think that I'd like to play the next song as well, and then we can talk some more, because I just think that it feels so good just to have this music here for people
sure.
to hear. And the second song I've got queued up is actually number 8 on your album, Peaceful World. And this one's called The Sleeping Waterfalls. So can you tell us just a little bit about that and what you were thinking about when you...
Well, you know, I like to spend a lot of time on Kauai, you know, the island of Kauai and the North Shore, especially in the Pali Coast. And, you know, when you're looking out at the across the Hanalei Bay and the Nepali Coast, and there's all these, especially when there's rain, you see all these little silver threads of the waterfalls coming from thousands of feet up. And, you know, you see one, some of them you see all the time. They might run all the time, but many of the waterfalls are dependent on the rain. So when you have a period of no rain, these waterfalls are invisible. So they're sleeping, you know, they're and they waken, you know, once there's a big rain up at the top of the mountain, and these waterfalls come to life. And the same out in Hanamaui, where I stay a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Same kind of thing. You have a lot of waterfalls and streams that are that are almost invisible. But then the rain up on top of the mountain, when the rain comes in, then they all come to life again. So it's sort of an interesting thing. The waterfalls are quiet, and then sometimes they become huge.
Yeah, I had never thought about it that way before. We've only been to Kauai once, and that was back in 82, and we took the helicopter ride over it, and so we saw the amazing waterfalls that
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't have seen otherwise. But,
right.
Yeah, I had never thought about that, that on years where there's not as much rain that there wouldn't be the waterfalls. And that's
yeah, many of the streams are essentially almost dry until there's a big rain, and then they can become torrential, almost like flash floods, you know.
Uh-huh.
So you have to be very careful when you're in the streams in Hawaii. A lot of people don't realize it. You know, you could be swimming in a nice, pleasant waterfall. It could be nice and sunny, but if there's a big rain up at the top, a few thousand mm-hmm. feet up, then it eventually comes down that stream, so you could get washed to the ocean. So you have to be very, very careful. I know that when I hike in streams and waterfalls and things, I'm always looking for my escape route. It's always like, okay, I could get out here if I hear the rumble, you know, because it's really only a few seconds before the stream becomes a monster, you know. You have to be very careful.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it almost sounds like it's kind of like a water avalanche, huh?
Yes, exactly. It's what they call flash flood, and it's, you know, when you think about it, like, the, you know, on Maui, for example, Haleakala is about 10,000 feet. So that's, you know, the high mountains catch the trade winds, the weather coming in from the trade winds, and when it hits that mountain, it dumps the water. So, you know, it comes from 10,000 feet up, and by the time it gets down to you, it's moving pretty fast.
Wow.
So you have to be very careful. You know, everybody in Hawaii wants to go swim in the waterfalls, but, you know, and there are some that are, you know, I mean, and when you're in areas that are less mountainous, of course, they're going to be less likely to have big flash floods. But when you get into, you know, the eastern, the windward sides of the islands and the mountainous areas, those waterfalls can be real dangerous. You have to be very, very careful.
Wow. Oh, well, that's good advice, too. Now I'm even more curious to listen to the song again with that in mind. So let's see, the Sleeping Waterfalls. I've got it right here. I'm going to play that, and then we'll talk some more.
Okay, great.
Jim, that is so beautiful. And I love it even more now.
That's that kind of music that you don't want to play if you're operating any heavy machinery.
No, and or any time when you need to stay awake. More alert because you're too tired. Any time you want to feel just peaceful and blissful and in the moment, it definitely is perfect for that. It is so gorgeous. Now,
thank you.
The last time I had you on, you were just about to do the Grammys, and that was in March this year instead of earlier because of the pandemic. So
right.
Can you tell us a little bit about what that was like in your album? Tell us about your album that was nominated and what happened. And
well, I released my album More Guitar Stories last August, a little less than a year ago, and entered it into the Grammys. And later in the fall, when the nominations came out, I was totally surprised that I got nominated. It was in the New Age category, which is sort of where they've been putting me lately. But I was surprised because it's a very eclectic record. It's got a lot of different musical styles on it, and I didn't really think it fit in anywhere, but it got nominated to my surprise. And then, lo and behold, we had the ceremony, which was virtual, of course. We couldn't, when I got nominated a few years ago, it was really lovely because there were all these great parties before the Grammys for the nominees and, lots of fun stuff. Of course, this year, none of that. So I was in my studio with a glass of wine and my laptop, and basically, we were sort of on line with the producer, and it was sort of like a Zoom type of a setup, but their own system, and they're on the line going, okay, your award's coming up next, and lo and behold, they announced my name and as the winner, and it was I was just blown away. And so I started to go, I had a little sort of speech prepared, just a short 30-second thing, so I started doing that, and then all of a sudden they cut away. And, because I'm watching it on the screen, and they just cut away from me, and I could hear a bunch of yelling going on. One of them, somebody was yelling to the other person, and it was like, oh, I could hear him just fine. Well, what happened was somehow, in fact, most people, I think, probably thought it was my fault, but somehow they had me on mute, and nobody could hear what I was saying in the director's, booth or whatever it was, and truck, and so they couldn't hear me, so they cut away to the next award, which was, a little crazy, and I thought, gee, did I do something wrong? And then I realized, after you win, then you have instructions to go to this virtual press room, where people are going to interview you. And, once I went to the press room, I went to the press room, I logged into that afterwards, and they could hear me just fine there. So I guess it was something on their end. But a friend of mine suggested I just record my speech and put it up on YouTube. And so I did that right after I was done. I used the same setup just where I was sitting and recorded it. And then I also sent it to the Grammy folks because when they do their archive, then they were going to insert that in as though there hadn't been any problems.
That's good.
Anyway, yeah, it was a great experience, although it was a strange one, like with no parties and just hanging out at your house. And then then that whole situation of them having me muted was kind of strange, but anyway, it's all good. I mean, I actually have, you don't get the award right away, even at the real normal Grammys. They mail it to you, a month or so later, So I actually did get it, and it's sitting on my mantle, which is pretty cool.
That is so cool. The first time I ever saw a Grammy was when we met you on Maui and. Oh, it was 2012 when we were there. Yeah, and it got the gorgeous Grammy. And, oh, my God.
That's right.
That was so cool. I'll always remember that. Yeah.
George Kahumoko always brings one of his Grammys to the show. That's funny. But actually, I know at least the first Grammy that he got was, the producers got it because it was all recordings recorded there at that show. And that's what the album was that won the Grammy. It was when they had a Hawaiian category, which they don't have anymore, but George ended up getting a couple Grammys at least, maybe three, I'm not sure, but anyway, yeah, maybe I should start bringing mine to the gigs.
Yeah, definitely. Just have to keep an eye on it, make sure nobody takes off.
So I'll just get a little road case, anvil road case made for it,
I love that. I love that idea. Speaking of live shows, you're starting to do some live shows now too, right?
Yeah, amazingly enough, I've done a couple. Well, I did a couple little private things a month ago, and then I did a. I played last Saturday at this. A friend of mine was DJing at this really cool kind of tiki bar down in Long Beach, and asked me to come for this sort of special event they had, and it was a lot of fun. It was a it wasn't my normal concert situation, but it was a lot of fun. But tomorrow I have an actual real concert at a an amphitheater, a big show, and. In Fullerton, it's called the Muckenthaler Center, and there's going to be hula, but it's sold out, so doesn't do me any good to promote it because it's sold out yesterday, so that'll be exciting to play for a nice big crowd and share the music, and so I'm not on a real care to book a lot of shows, but I have been getting phone calls, so I've got a few things on the calendar, and then eventually in the fall I'll be back on Maui for the Slack Key show, George Kahumoko's Slack Key show up there at Napili Kai, which is always a blast, so much fun.
Yeah, that's the one where we met you, I think, was for that show. That was really awesome. That was so much fun. I'm so glad that we went to that.
Yeah, it's nice that they've got that going back in full swing now. I think right now they're still doing limited seating, but they will probably by the fall, hopefully, open it up to a regular, full crowd. It's a lovely, lovely show, and you couldn't ask for a nicer place to be to play Hawaiian music, because right there on the Pili Bay, it's pretty spectacular.
I absolutely love the pictures that you post from when you're there. And wherever you go, you post them from all of the different places that you go. And I love that. I have in the slideshow some of your sunset and beach photos, though, as well. And they're just so beautiful. And just
it's easy when, in a place like that, you just have to be there and just hit the button, and that's all it takes. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's definitely a great place to photograph. And it makes people feel good, though, when they see the pictures, and it brings back memories for them of when they are there. So it's a great gift that you give to the people when you share the pictures, not just the music, but the pictures as well. And each one of your albums has such beautiful cover art, and it's each so unique.
Yeah, speaking of cover art, I want to give a shout out to Harry Wishart. He's the great painter on the Big Island. He did the cover for my Peaceful World album, this recent album, and also for my one a few years ago, the one called Moku Maluhia. That's also his artwork. But most people think they're photographs, and they're not. They're actual paintings, and he's very, very talented. His gallery is over in the Waimea area on the Big Island, just a Wishart gallery, and W-I-S-H-A-R-D, Harry Wishart. And he's just one of Hawaii's great, born and raised on the Big Island, and he's been painting all his life, and he's just a fabulous artist. So I was very lucky to have him provide the artwork for this CD.
This CD, all of your CDs are really special and really awesome. And we were showing the CD, the actual cover, where it opens up and everything, and to a new neighbor that we have here, and he was just blown away. He's going, wow, this is so beautiful, and how it opens up, and he's got the tunings for the guitars inside, and each one of the songs, you tell a little bit about the song, about what you were thinking of for the song, and I don't know, it just gives me chills. I'm just looking through it right now.
Well, I like to have a little paragraph about each song, because I think it helps people understand the music a little better, and I think it helps them get into it, and same playing live, a lot of times I like to talk about a tune, give some kind of entryway into the song, before the tune. I think people, if it's just music and they don't really know what's going on with it, and especially if I'm singing something in Hawaiian, then I always have to explain a little bit about that before I do it. Otherwise, people are just completely perplexed,
Well, the Hawaiian language to me is so beautiful. And as we talked about before, it's just, for me, it's I don't want to try to pronounce the words that I don't know how to pronounce, and partly because I've learned that if I do start trying to do that and I get it wrong, it's even harder to get it right once I do hear how I'm supposed to say them. But, yeah, I just love it.
It's a very easy language to pronounce, really. I mean, you know, they only have certain consonants, you know, H, K, L, M, N, P, and the vowels are just, you know, your vowels, instead of A, E, I, O, U, they're A, A, E, O, U. So if you always use those sounds. And then the only thing is they have a thing called an okina, which looks like in print, it looks like a backwards apostrophe. But that's called it's a glottal stop. It's like if you go, uh-oh, you know, that little space, uh-oh, that little stop. It's like in Hawaii, it has it between... In the word Hawaii has it between the two I's, so it's Hawaii, you know, a little stop after the first vowel. So that's very simple. And then they have a thing called a kaha ko, which is it shows up as a straight line over a vowel. So, you know, like the word, the town Hana has it over the first A. So Hana, you hold the first A a little bit longer than normal. Now, if I was just to say Hana, that means work, like labor or work. But Hana means, you know, with a longer held A, first A, then that means that's the name of the town, you know. So that's it. You know, those are the, you know, essentially the rules. And you can, it's very easy to pronounce Hawaiian if you just use those simple rules. There's not a lot of anomalies like there are in English language. It's very simple, although some of the words are like compound words. You know, like humu humu nuku nuku apawa.
I love that one.
Well, you know, they're combinations of smaller words. You know, so once you start recognizing the words, the small words within the big word, then you know it becomes a lot more easy to pronounce. You know, but it's actually pretty easy to pronounce Hawaiian.
I think it's probably easier for you, though, because you've been going there for so long. When did you go to Maui and Hawaii for the first time?
That would be 1985. I went to it was just a random thing. A friend of mine who I was on tour with, I was playing, you know, I play with Weird Al, and, you know, that's been a gig I've been had since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I was on tour with Al, and somebody else on the tour said, "Hey, I'm going to go visit my friend out on Maui. You after the tour, maybe, you know, why don't you come along? We'll both go." And I said, "Sure, that sounds good." And we flew in directly to Kahului, Maui, and then got off the plane and walked over to the Inter Island Terminal and got on a little 10-seat Beechcraft commuter plane and flew into the Hana Airport, which is just a little airstrip with one little open-air hut. You know, so, you know, I went right to Hana, which happens to be, you know, one of the most Hawaiian places in Hawaii, small village, you know, not many, you know, one gas station, two little tiny stores and a lot of horses and chickens and that kind of thing. So I flew right into Hana and I didn't really get to see Kahului or Lahaina and certainly not Waikiki or anything. So I my first experience, luckily, was going to one of the most Hawaiian places and, you know, staying with a local family and going to local luau and, you know, just meeting everybody and getting, you know, I guess I would say I was sort of thrown in the deep end of Hawaiian culture and, you know, thrown right in the deep end. And of course, started hearing records, Slack Key records and Hawaiian music records, which I just loved. And, you know, that's how it all started.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Oh. It is, you know, to me, it's just such a peaceful place to go. And so many, the whole idea of aloha, the aloha spirit and mahalo and gratitude. And just when I hear those words, see those words, when people say them, it just brings back that spirit of aloha. And it's just such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's Hawaii's gift to the world, you know. I mean, people live by those rules there, and that's a way. It's a way of life, you know. I guess aloha is a complex word, but I mean, we use it as a greeting and as a, or as we say, you know, for saying hello or goodbye. But, you know, mm-hmm. if you say aloha, as you to somebody, it's like, you know, I greet you with aloha. Or if, mm-hmm. if you're leaving and you say aloha, it's more like I leave you with aloha, you know. So aloha is a, you know, it's a kind of a complex idea, but it basically means kind of, you know, unconditional love and respect for not only your fellow man, but for the aina, for the physical world, and, you know, your ancestors, and, you know, and everything. It's respect for all living things and non-living things, really. And it's a lovely concept.
It is a very lovely concept, and I hope it spreads all over the world.
That's part of our job. As they say, with Hawaiian musicians, we are ambassadors of aloha.
Oh, yes, definitely. Now, before I forget, people can go to your website and they can find out more about you, your shows, where they can buy all of your albums. And also, I love the little thumb disc, I guess that's what you call it, that you have that people can buy with all of your songs on it. It says Jim Kimo West on
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I have a store on my website that has all my music, and either on CDs or downloads. But, yeah, I have this USB drive, and now I have sort of the – since I've got more records now, I have a deluxe version. So, essentially, it's all 11 of my CDs in both MP3 and WAV files, and then all the album art and liner notes and everything all on one little USB drive. I think it's like $49.95, and there is a cheaper one too that doesn't have as many records on it, but it's kind of like my entire catalog for like $50, which is actually pretty good because it's less than $5 a CD. So
great deal. We have the first one that came out, and you're right, that one doesn't mm-hmm. have the newer mm-hmm. things on it, so we're gonna need to upgrade ours. But the website is JimKimoWest.com. So that's JimKimoWest.com for people to go there.
Yeah. And the great thing I was going to say, the USB drive, I think one of the reasons is it's been very successful. I've sold quite a few of them, and I think one of the main reasons is that the cars nowadays, the modern cars, all have a USB jack, you know, like for charging your phone or using your phone for your music source. So when you plug it into your USB jack in the car, then all that music comes up on your stereo in your car, you know, so you can listen to – you can take a really long trip in your car and still not run out of Kimo music.
Yeah, road trip.
Exactly.
Yeah, go all the way to Southern California from where we are, all the way from Southern California all the way up to Northern California and or up to Oregon.
It's probably about 6 hours of music on there. Yep.
Oh, wow. We've really enjoyed seeing you over on Maui in that show that we were talking about earlier, and we also really enjoyed seeing you with Ken Emerson over in Berkeley. It was over in
Oakland. Yeah,
Oakland.
Was it Oakland? Yoshi's probably. Yeah.
Yes,
Yoshi's.
Yoshi.
Yes. Yeah, that's a beautiful place, Yoshi's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping to do some more shows with Ken Emerson later in the fall. We're just sort of waiting for everybody to sort of get back online with shows because indoor shows are still. You know, the show I'm doing tomorrow is outdoors. It's like an amphitheater, but indoor shows are still not quite there yet, and at least around here.
Well, you know, I think we still all need to be careful. The Giants have, on Father's Day, we were there. We hadn't been there in a long time, and we were in a fully vaccinated section, so it felt pretty safe. And it wasn't
mm-hmm.
totally full, but now they're at, like, full capacity, which is, I don't know, a little bit scary after how long we weren't able to go anywhere in person at all.
Yeah, it is. It is a little strange. I did go to a local restaurant here recently, and I had been before, but they had, you know, every other table empty, and I went in here the other day, and it was, like, packed, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It was a little strange, but But yeah, we have to be, I think, especially careful. We can't let our guard down too soon because, you know, there's other weird bugs floating around out there.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. And we were at a doctor appointment and we had to wear masks for in there. And, you know,
yeah.
They were pointing out that the hospitals, doctor offices, schools, and I can't remember what else, you still have to wear them. It's getting kind of confusing right now, though, because you don't know where you can't have to or not. But I think it's best just to bring one with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I always have one with me. Yeah, I mean, I think it's up to the individual businesses too. They can require it or not. Yeah, we've got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing about the pandemic was that, you know, of course, you know, this new record that I just put out, I actually had that finished last year. It was all completely finished, the artwork, everything was done. But I didn't want to put it out. I didn't want to put it out until after the Grammys because that would be too confusing. You know, people would be confused as to which record was the Grammy winner.
Yeah.
So I waited on that. So, you know, that was one plus side of the pandemic was I got, you know, I was forced to basically stay indoors and work on my studio a lot more. So I've got a number of other projects I've been working on that'll be coming out before too long. But, you know, that's all a result of being able to spend a lot of time here and then also out in my garden because I like to grow vegetables and stuff. So, you know, I've had a banner year for growing stuff because I've had the time to, you know, to be here. No tours or anything like that. So I've had the time to really stay on top of my garden.
Well, you know, for people like you that have done a lot of touring with Weird Al also, and then with your own music, with the Hawaiian music, and it's that people need time to have to themselves, you know, and I think we all got forced into having maybe too much, but I think what you're saying is really true, is that the people who know that they're creative, we're all creative, but some people don't seem to know it or believe it or understand it, but people who do use that time to enjoy making things, creating things, whether it's music, songs, books, or gardens, or all of the above.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I think a lot of people who are, you know, who have, you know, creative pursuits that they've put aside in order to, you know, work a regular job for security, I think I was listening to an article about how many people during this year, last year, have decided to quit their jobs and follow their creative path, you know, because they had so much time to work on it during the pandemic. And they just said, wait a minute, what am I doing? I think I'll just, you know, follow my heart here and give up the day job.
Aww.
And get into their creative pursuit. So I think that's happened quite a bit, I think.
We have only a minute and a half left, and I was going to ask you what you wanted to leave our list with. I think what you just said about following your heart, which is what Live Your Music means. It means to do what your heart's desires are. I think that's a really
if you can, you know, it's always good to, you know, even if it's not completely possible to break away from your, you know, the job that sustains you or whatever it is, it's always good to keep that alive in your heart so that one day you can, you know, if you decide to, you can proceed down that path.
Right. Yeah, because it can give you joy and other people joy, even if it's not what you do all the time. In fact, I think that helps you sometimes to be more creative, is to have a lot of input
Absolutely.
From other sources. Well, Jim, thank you so much for your music and for being back on my show again and for this beautiful new album and your Grammy album and all the albums. Thank you for all of the ways that you live your music.
Well, thank you for having me on again. Thank you for having me on again, Margot. It's always a pleasure. It's really lovely.
Oh, you're welcome. Ah, everyone out there, listen to your heart, follow your heart, and live your music in all the ways you can and feel inspired to do so. Bye for now, Jim. Bye for now, everyone.
Aloha.
Aloha. Yes, aloha. And mahalo. Bye-bye.